Snowdon, or a hill like Catbells in the Lake District, and surveyed the view before you. It might have been fortunate that you've been to another part of the world and the same things happened. It doesn't matter where it was, but did your heart fill with joy, delight, and wonder at what you looked out on? Was it a walk and a climb like this, which was the context to the author of Psalm 104, which Liz read for us, to sing out those words, his heart stirred as he sat on a hill or mountain and looked out? Psalm 104 is a song in praise of creation, and we're going to look at it together under three headings: observation, meditation, adoration. And it's on page 606 if you want to follow it. This is part of our sermon series on the Psalms. Page 606. Well, firstly, it's clear the psalmist goes around with his eyes open, observing what he sees. And verses 1 to 23 are similar to the account of creation in Genesis 1, but come in a different order. And what he observes stirs his heart as he sings out, "Praise the Lord, O my soul," and recognizes the greatness of God, the creator of it all. For he's a God who delights in what he's made. I like to the program Grand Designs, which is, for those who don't know, about the building of a house. And Kevin MacLeod, who fronts the programs, follows the ups and downs of the people who've bought the land and had the vision for their home's design. There are issues of being sympathetic to the surroundings, having and using sustainable materials, and making use of cutting-edge design. But I like the end of the program, when Kevin walks around the completed house with the proud owners looking at the end product, how the windows frame the best view, the walls which are in fact doors to hidden cupboards, clever systems to collect water to recycle. The owners are delighted and satisfied with their creation. And so too God, the psalmist recognizes in verse 3. He makes the clouds his chariots and rides on the wings of the wind. God goes round enjoying all that he's created and made. The psalmist also observes how it all fits together in verses 10 to 18. The water provides for the animals, birds sing and nest in trees, grass provides for the cattle, and plants us humans can cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. And the writer mentions three types in verse 15. Wine, that will please some of you, that gladdens the heart, oil to make his face shine, and bread to sustain his heart. Here is God, who is generous and, of course, is a good reason why it's right to give thanks to God before a meal in saying grace. Bread sustains us, drink refreshes us, and although we can cook with oil, here it speaks of making our face shine. Is it about applying it so that we look young and beautiful? The psalmist in verses 19 to 23 acknowledges the rhythm of the seasons, but also the value of darkness and light, observing how some animals come out at night to find food, and by day, verse 23, man goes about his work. The psalmist observes how God, the Creator, has made it all fit together, and so his observation leads him to meditation, verses 24 to 30, on God's nature. And as he reflects on what he sees and thinks about God, the psalmist acknowledges the greatness of God. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all, he sings out in verse 24. He recognizes the variety of species God has created to inhabit the earth, but too remembers the vastness of the sea, teeming with creatures, it says in verse 25, beyond number, living things both great and small. But the sea is also a highway on which ships can go to and fro, carrying people and goods. But also mentioned is the Leviathan, which God formed to frolic there. What was a Leviathan? Well, the word is only used in five passages in the Bible and is some kind of sea creature. Scholars believe in some references it refers to a crocodile, in other places to perhaps a whale or dolphin. Whatever it was large and unusual and something of a spectacle. And the sea is its playground. And as the psalmist reflects in all this, he remembers that God who created them also provides for them. Verse 27, these all look to you to give them their food in their proper time. And verse 28, when you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. But the psalmist also recognized that in the cycle of life, there is life and death, which too is in God's control. This meditation on the goodness, generosity, and provision of God leads the psalmist into adoration and to praise and worship, but not of creation, but of the Creator. Verses 31 to 35. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May the meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. Praise the Lord. But before we get carried away in adoration and praise of God the Creator, there is a reminder that what God created, we can spoil. For the psalmist says, verse 35, but may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. What God created good, we can so easily spoil through being thoughtless, selfish, or through greed. Some animals have been hunted almost to the point of extinction. Fish stocks can be threatened by overfishing. Discarded litter can not only spoil the environment, but also be a hazard to animals and birds and fish. And then we are acutely aware of climate change, of rising sea levels with ice caps and glaciers melting. Personally, I feel very disappointed and frustrated that Donald Trump has distanced himself from the Paris Climate Accord, questioning whether our actions are really having an effect on the climate. The story of creation in Genesis reminds us that we are stewards of what God created, not owners. But the Bible also reminds us we're to love our neighbours. So if our or others' actions are having an adverse effect on others, people or nations, then we need to remember when Jesus was asked what was the greatest commandment that we heard right at the beginning of the service, he summed it as love God and love your neighbour. Mr. Trump may desire to make America great again, but I hope not at an environmental cost to others. Psalm 104 gives words we can sing in praise of creation, but it also reminds us quite abruptly of the danger we face of spoiling God's good creation by our sin. Part of our Christian duty, I believe, is to be environmentalists, looking after what God has entrusted to our care. So Psalm 104 is a song of praise of creation, in which we discover the psalmist's observation on what God has created, his meditation on him, and his adoration of him. So here's a challenge. I'd like to encourage you as you walk or drive home from this service to take time to appreciate what you see. The wild flowers at the side of the road, a spider's web, crows or other birds pecking in the fields just been harvested. Stop and appreciate a flower, its colour and its shape and makeup. We are fortunate in Ardley and Dedham to live in an area of outstanding natural beauty and must never be complacent about it. But even in inner cities and suburbia, there are signs of God the Creator's hand at work, the flower growing in the crack of concrete, the bird of prey nesting high on the ledge of a building, the work of a community group to create a community garden on a piece of wasteland, individuals who plants and shrubs growing on a balcony of their high-rise flat. Look around, observe what you can see. Jesus himself looked around him at the natural world and used what it saw to teach spiritual truths, using, for example, birds and foxes, trees, flowers, seeds, to make his point. And having looked and observed what you see in what God has created, take time to meditate and remember who is the creator of all this, God himself, and then in adoration, offer to him your own praise and thanksgiving. You might even consider penning a few words to express what you've seen under those headings of observation, meditation, and adoration, as did the psalmist. There's a little place in Derbyshire called Milldale, where the beautiful River Dove passes, and where if you sit quietly, you might even see a dipper. But above Milldale is the village of Alstonfield. You can get there by road, but there's a shortcut up a fairly steep track. And partway up, just when you're needing a rest, you come to a small chapel. And outside, on the wall of the chapel, you'll see a sign which reads, "Take a look around, come in and thank God." And if you turn around and look from where you've come, you get a great view. And it's a reminder, as a singer of Psalm 104 knew only too well, that although we can rejoice and wonder at the grandeur of creation, it is its creator God who rightly deserves our adoration and praise. And so let us pray. Lord of all the world, we praise you for your creation, for the wonder and vastness of space, the beauty and grandeur of the world, and the value of the earth's resources. Keep us from spoiling the gifts of yours by our selfishness, and help us to use them for the good of all people and to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.